fell upon stony ground.
A prophet is not without honour, save in his own country.
The crumbs from the table.
Sign of the times.
Den of thieves.
Pharisee.
Whited sepulchre.
Wars and rumours of wars.
Good and faithful servant.
Separate the sheep from the goats.
I wash my hands of it.
The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.
Suffer the little children.
The widow's mite.
Physician, heal thyself.
Good Samaritan.
Passed by on the other side.
Grapes of wrath.
Lost sheep.
Prodigal son.
A great gulf fixed.
Whose shoe latch it I am not worthy to unloose.
Cast the first stone.
Jesus wept.
Greater love hath no man than this.
Doubting Thomas.
Rode to Damascus.
A law unto himself.
Through a glass darkly.
Death, where is thy sting?
A thorn in the flesh.
Fallen from grace.
Filthy lucre.
The root of all evil.
Fight the good fight.
All flesh is as grass.
The weaker vessel.
I am Alpha and Omega.
Armageddon.
De profundis.
Quo vadis.
Rain on the just and on the unjust.
Every one of these idioms, phrases, or clichés comes directly from the King James Authorized Version of the Bible. Surely ignorance of the Bible is bound to impoverish one's appreciation of English literature. And not just solemn and serious literature. The following rhyme by Lord Justice Bowen is ingeniously witty.
The rain it raineth on the just, and also on the unjust, fella, but chiefly on the just, because the unjust hath the just's umbrella.
But the enjoyment is muffled if you can't take the allusion to Matthew 5:45.
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust.
And the fine point of Eliza Doolittle's fantasy in My Fair Lady would escape anybody ignorant of John the Baptist's end.
Thanks a lot, King, says I, in a manner well bred, but all I want is Henry Higgins' Ed.
P.G. Woodhouse is, for my money, the greatest writer of light comedy in English, and I bet fully half my list of biblical phrases will be found as allusions within his pages. A Google search will not find all of them, however. It will miss the derivation of the short story title The Aunt and the Sluggard from Proverbs 6:6. The Woodhouse canon is rich in other biblical phrases not in my list above and not incorporated into the language as idioms or proverbs. Listen to Bertie Wooster's evocation of what it is like to wake up with a bad hangover.
I'd been dreaming that some bounder was driving spikes through my head, not just ordinary spikes as used by Jael, the wife of Heber, but red-hot ones.
Bertie himself was immensely proud of his only scholastic achievement, the prize he once earned for scripture knowledge.
What is true of comic writing in English is more obviously true of serious literature. Nasib Shaheen's tally of more than 1,300 biblical references in Shakespeare's works is widely cited and very believable. The Bible Literacy Report, published in Fairfax, Virginia, admittedly financed by the infamous Templeton Foundation, provides many examples and cites overwhelming agreement by teachers of English literature that biblical literacy is essential to full appreciation of their subject. Doubtless the equivalent is true of French, German, Russian, Italian, Spanish, and other great European literatures. And for speakers of Arabic and Indian languages, knowledge of the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita is presumably just as essential for full appreciation of their literary heritage. Finally, to round off the list, you can't appreciate Wagner, whose music, as has been wittily said, is better than it sounds, without knowing your way around the Norse gods.
Let me not labour the point. I've probably said enough to convince at least my older readers that an atheistic worldview provides no justification for cutting the Bible and other sacred books out of our education. And of course we can retain a sentimental loyalty to the cultural and literary traditions of, say, Judaism, Anglicanism, or Islam, and even participate in religious rituals such as marriages and funerals, without buying into the supernatural beliefs that historically went along with those traditions. We can give up belief in God while not losing touch with a treasured heritage.